I'm wearing this from the Philippines because this past February, we took a team on a short-term mission trip to the Philippines. And so I'm going to be talking about the Philippines a little bit in my sermon today. For the past couple of weeks, we heard other people, other members of our team share their testimonies. And so even in the sermon today, I'm going to share a little bit of my own testimony about what happened. But before we go into that, I just wanted to ask this question, first of all, and that is, what is it that you're excited about? What is it that you talk to other people about? This is not a picture of a little girl flying. She's so excited that she's jumping in the air like this, and that's what that picture is. This past week, my daughter came up to me after coming back home from school, and she was so excited about visiting this place in Taiwan. It's called Xiao Ding Dang, and it's a funny name, but it's a place where you go, and there's a lot of different little activities where it's like science experiments and all these different things that you could do. And so she comes home, and she cannot stop talking about it. She just keeps talking and talking and talking, and she keeps talking. Like, as soon as she got off the bus, she just kept talking about it all the way up until we got home, and even after we got home, she kept talking about it. And she was just so excited, she wouldn't even take a breath. And I wanted to ask, like, okay, now you have to go do your homework, right? Now you have to go, you know, go do your homework, go read a book. But then she just would not stop. She said, you know, you're interrupting me. There's still more. And she just kept going and going and going. Now, I haven't seen my daughter this excited in a long time. And when we're excited about something, so excited about it, we see in that thing something that has value for us. We see something that is just so exciting, and we want to share that with other people. And so I want you to think about, what is it that's exciting for you? What is it that carries value for you? What is it that you want to just keep talking about with other people? What is that thing? I want you to think about that. Because when we talk about that thing, we are so excited about it because we see that it is such a wonderful, such a valuable thing. Now, through the book of Galatians, what we've read about and what we've talked about for the past couple of months was that some people thought that they were more valuable, or some practice, some religious practice was so valuable that they would go around and they would share with other people, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And they were so excited about this thing that they would go around and share this thing even though it was wrong. But what we've found through the book of Galatians over and over again is that that religious practice, and specifically its circumcision, is not what's exciting, is not what has value, but Jesus Christ himself is the one that has value. People look to circumcision, this religious practice, as a way to say that if I have this, then I can finally experience God's blessing, that I can experience what life is all about. But what we've looked at, what we've seen through the book of Galatians is that no, that's not it. Jesus is the answer for life. Jesus is the one where we can find true blessedness. Jesus is the one where we will find true happiness. And so, the main idea for today's sermon is this. Experience new life in Jesus. Now, as I was talking with one of our elders this morning, I said, and actually we were praying together this morning, and in my prayer I said, Lord, help us not to just think of today as a day that we share with unbelievers. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian and you're joining us here today, I'm so glad that you are. I'm so glad that you've come and you're here to see what Christianity is about. But the thing that I was praying was, Lord, I don't want us just to be thinking about just sharing with unbelievers about who Jesus Christ is. That's not what Easter should be about. Easter should be about us Christians celebrating the fact that we have new life in Jesus Christ. That's where our focus should be. Today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of just thanksgiving because we believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead because he conquered death. And that's why we can experience new life in Jesus. And so that's the main idea today. Experience new life in Jesus. The 3 points that we'll go through are number one, the search for life. Number two, new life in Jesus. And number three, the answer for everyday life. The answer for everyday life. So let's dive into this first point here, the search for life. As we look at our passage, it starts off with Paul saying, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." And so if you could imagine, he actually wrote a letter out, and it wasn't just small letters or the right size font. He actually wrote like something like, "Believe in Jesus. Look at the large letters that I'm writing." And he's really trying to emphasize what he's saying. And this is what he's saying. Look, all those other people that are wanting to say that you're blessed because of these religious practices. Look, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Let's look at what this passage says real quick. It's really interesting. It says those people that are spreading this idea about circumcision, they want to make a good showing. It's so interesting. If you look at the original language, this word about making a good showing is about showing a good face. And so it's interesting because here in Taiwan, they talk about saving face, right? Like gei mianzi or diu lian, right? We have these words to talk about how we want to make sure that people are respected and people are seen in a good way. And that's the idea here. People are spreading this idea that you need to get circumcised because they themselves want to show that they are on the what they think is the right side. They want to make a good showing. But not only that, they also don't want to be persecuted because of the cross of Christ. If they say, "Jesus is all you need, the cross is all you need," then other Jews might come up and tell them, "That's wrong. You also need to do these other things." And they don't want to be persecuted for that. And the last thing that it mentions here is that they want to boast in other people and how they were able to convince other people that this was the right way. And so if you think about it, the motivation behind everything that they're doing was actually for themselves. It was for their own good. They wanted to be accepted by other Jews. They wanted to be comforted. They wanted to not experience any type of conflict with the other Jews. They wanted to feel that they were accepted. They wanted to feel like they belonged to the community. You see, all these ideas like acceptance and belonging and not being persecuted, not feeling like you're separated from other people, having a sense of success, like I was able to change someone. I was able to convince someone. Look at me, I'm so good. All these ideas are there, and actually these ideas are things that we ourselves experience in our own lives. We want acceptance. We want to feel like we belong. We don't want to be rejected by other people. We want to have a sense of security. We want all these things. And in fact, people all around the world for all of time have experienced these same things. There is no exception. Every single human being has this desire for these types of things. Why? Well, it starts from the very beginning. By the way, I created this picture, not by painting it myself, but I used AI. It's kind of cool. It worked out pretty well. I did not use AI for this sermon, don't worry. Just for this picture. Just for this picture. At the very beginning, God created everything. God created this world to be a perfect world. God created this world and he said it was a good world. Everything about wanting to belong, everything about wanting to experience peace, everything about like feeling like everything's going well in your life, it was happening in that world. It was a perfect world. It was a good world. And that's how God intended the world to be. But God gave people a choice. Either you do things my way, which is the good way, which is a way that you will experience life, which is a way that you will be kind to other people, which is a way that people will be kind to you, which is a way where you will not be cheated. If you do things my way, which is a way that we want things to be in our lives, if you just do it this way, then you will continue to experience life. But if you turn away from me and you say you don't need me, then what you will begin to experience is the exact opposite of that good, perfect life. You'll experience death. You'll experience sorrow. You'll experience pain. And so God gave a choice to the very first people, Adam and Eve. And he said, look, I'm going to make it easy for you guys. You can experience life and have a good, abundant life. You could eat of any tree in this garden. You have so many choices. But just don't eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat from this one tree. Everything else you can enjoy. And you're going to work and things are going to be great. You're going to have a successful life. Things are going to go really good for you guys. Just don't eat of this tree. But they decided not to do things God's way. They decided to do things in their own way. And they decided to eat of that fruit. And as soon as that happened, they chose a life separate from God. And every single human being in this life chooses a life that's separate from God. And when God made this world in a perfect way and he said, this is my way, what we end up choosing is a world that's different from everything that we're longing for in our hearts. Let me explain what that means. We long for it because that's how God intended it for us to be. We long for it because that's what God wanted us to be a part of. But we left that. We separated ourselves from that, and we decided to live our lives in our own way. We experience a longing for belonging, which exists over there, but now we try to find belonging in our families, in our churches even. We try to find belonging in our clubs, even in our workplace. And we say, God, I don't need you. I could find a sense of belonging in these other places. But you don't. Or you say, I want to find security. And God said, look, if you come to me and you're with me, you're going to get that security. You're going to feel everything is safe and good. But we say, no, God, we don't want you. We're going to find security in our own way, through our job, through our retirement, through other things like our family, a stable family. And we're going to find security in that kind of way. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And we think that we're doing something good. Even coming to church, some of us, we say we can come to church and we're going to feel like we're doing things right in our lives. And God says, all you have to do is come to be with me. Then you'll feel that everything is right. And we say, no, we don't need you, God. We just need to be a part of church. We need to be reading the Bible. We just need to do all these things the right way. And then I will feel that I'm doing things right. Except you don't. And so the world that we experience today is a world that's filled with hard labor. It's a world where people want to find the answers in this life. And maybe they can't and they give up on life. Some people, they turn to alcohol and they turn to smoking. They turn to being a part of a club. They turn to drugs. They turn to other things. And it doesn't even have to be that terrible. They turn to all these other things and they think that somehow they can escape this world of hurt and pain. You know, this is not something that we talk about just for unbelievers. But I experienced this in the Philippines. When I was in the Philippines with our team, we split up into smaller groups. And the pastor there told us to go and share door to door, share about the gospel, share about who Jesus Christ is, going house to house. And this place, it was like a jungle. There are trees everywhere. But as you're walking along the path, you'll see a house there, see a house there, see a house there. And so I went with one other teammate. And the other teams, they went somewhere else. They had, each of them had translators. We had our own translator. And so we went to this first house. And at that place, I began to share about the gospel with the person there. But as I was asking certain questions, as I was trying to share, what ended up happening was I couldn't speak their language and they didn't understand English. So I spoke to them, and then the pastor translated into Bisaya, which is the language that they speak there. They responded, spoke in Bisaya, and then the pastor, sometimes he couldn't really say what he wanted to say in English, so he spoke to my teammate, who was able to speak Tagalog, translated into Tagalog, and then translated, and then my teammate translated into English to me. And then this happened a couple times, and I'm like, I just feel like it's not working. And then we said, all right, well, and then the pastor just said, hey, can I take over? I said, okay, pastor, you take over. And then the pastor just took over speaking in Bisaya. And then we just said, all right, please come to our event tonight. We're having an event at the church tonight. Please come. And I walked away from there feeling like, that didn't go so well. I'm supposed to be the pastor. Shouldn't I be successful at what I'm doing here? Right? I'm supposed to be the pastor. And the pastor of the church in the Philippines was there with me. You know, he might not see me as a good pastor anymore. He might not accept me as a good pastor anymore. I might not feel like I'm a part of, like, his crew of pastors. He has a bunch of pastors that he hangs out with. I feel I'm on the outside now. And so that sense of wanting to belong, that desire to be successful in what I'm doing, even as a pastor, right? And then that night, and then we went to a couple other houses, and it was the same thing. We visited another house, and they said, oh yeah, another team already came by, and they already shared with us the gospel. We can't do it again. We go to another house. Oh, this guy, let's share the gospel with him. Oh, this guy already knows the gospel, but he's not a very good Christian. We hope he could come out. Hey, will you want to come out to our event tonight? Oh, yeah, you know, maybe I'll be there. It didn't seem like we even did anything here. And I just left that place feeling like I was a failure. That night, I was supposed to give a sermon. On a mission trip, though, you don't know how many sermons you're supposed to give. You don't know how many times you're going to speak. And so every time they asked me to speak, I was either thinking of a sermon on the spot or I had a little bit of time to think of a sermon. And so at that night was called a marathon of praise. That was the name that the church gave it. It was a marathon of praise. So I was thinking, first of all right, I guess I have a lot of time because it's going to be a marathon of praise. I have a lot of time to prepare. But they just told me that they had a couple songs. So I started to feel stressed. Oh man, I was a failure today. I hope I can at least give a good sermon tonight. And I was thinking, what should I talk about? What should I talk about? What should I talk about? And nothing was coming to my mind. And I was struggling. And I just felt just completely like a failure. And I felt like I was going to do a bad job that night. Do any of you relate to this? Do any of you feel like in your own life that even though maybe you're given a title, that maybe you're not living up to that? Do any of you feel like you think you should have purpose in life, but for some reason you don't know what that is? Do any of you feel like you just want to belong and be a part of your family, or you want to belong and be a part of your friends, but you just feel like it's not quite what you had expected? Do any of you identify with that? Well, that night I was struggling, and this was the church. They only had a roof and no walls. This was taken from outside of the church. That night, we went there early, and I was there struggling. Normally, I would go around talking with some of the people that came early, but I just sat there by myself, struggling. But in that place where we feel that there's still something lacking in our lives, God sees that. God sees how humanity fell away. And this is what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16. It said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, out of God's love and compassion, God sees the lacking that you feel in your heart. God sees the emptiness that you feel. God sees your sadness. God sees your pain. And he knows that it's because you rejected him and decided to try to make a life without God. But God loved you so much. God loved his people so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And it says, whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this idea of perishing is that when we choose a life away from God, we experience death. We will physically die, and there will be an eternal punishment. But not only that, in our daily lives, we'll experience small bits of death in our hearts. In our minds, we'll feel like things just aren't what life was meant to be. But through Jesus Christ, we can experience a new life. We can have that new life in Jesus. In verses 14 and 15 of today's passage, it says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." This is Paul speaking and saying, look, I don't want to talk about how many people are coming to believe in Jesus Christ and how I'm so successful at that. I don't want to talk about how people have rejected me and how I have but how before in the past I was just accepted by so many people because I was just such an excelling scholar. I don't want to talk about any of those things. I just want to talk about Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, I have turned away from the world. And the world also rejects me. The world has turned away from me as well. So people are against me, but that's okay. I don't have to feel like a belonging to this world. I don't have to find my security in this world. I don't have to find any of these things, acceptance or success or security. I don't have to find any of these things in the world anymore because Jesus is my everything. Circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't count for anything. It doesn't matter what those religious people say. Whether you got circumcised or not, that doesn't matter anymore. When you look to Jesus, what matters is that Jesus changes your heart and you are made into a new creation so that you begin to want Jesus more than this world, so that you begin to see how beautiful God is. You begin to see that world that God originally created and you say, that's the God that I have a relationship with. And you are made into a new creation with a new heart and a new mindset, a new outlook on this world. You see, the message of Easter is that Jesus Christ, because of God's love for you, he came into this world and he died for your sins. He took your sinful life upon himself and he died for you. And not only that, he gives you his life. Jesus is the one that rose again from the dead. That's what the Bible talks about. That's the testimony of so many people from the past. And that's the testimony of so many of us Christians today. And we say together, Jesus Christ really is alive because I have experienced him working in my life. He has changed my heart. He has changed my outlook on life. He has made me into a new creation. I still struggle with sin. I still struggle at times and look at this world to find fulfillment. But I know that Jesus is working in my life because he continues to bring me back to him. I know that Jesus is alive. And that's what we're proclaiming here today. Jesus is alive and he has conquered death and he breathes life into his people and you are made into a new creation. You have new life in Jesus Christ. You see, this is not just a one-time thing. This is not something that's going to happen one day when we go to heaven and things are going to be perfect. One day in heaven, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be what God originally intended. But it's going to be that because we have a relationship with God. But this thing is not just a one-time thing for the future. Because today, even now, we have a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God. And so what that means is that in our lives today, we can experience and have these glimpses of heaven, these glimpses of our new lives today. Yes, we will still struggle. Yes, life will still be difficult at times. Yes, maybe for some of us, life, the rest of our lives will be a struggle. But the thing that we know is that we have a relationship with God. Jesus loves us. That our sins are forgiven, and Jesus is helping us each and every day to experience him. So what does that look like? What does it look like to say that Jesus is the answer for my everyday life? What does it look like to actually experience new life in Jesus? Well, first of all, we want to look to Jesus and trust that he's forgiven us of our sins. But not only that he has forgiven us, but also that he is there for us. He is there working in our lives. We don't have to fear death. Death may come, but we don't have to fear death because he conquered death. We trust in Jesus. And this is the way that it's stated in our passage today. In verse 16 it says, "And as for all who walk by this rule," and the rule is to look to Jesus Christ who makes us into a new creation. "Anyone that lives by this rule or walks by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." What does this mean? It means that because we have a relationship with God, because our sins have been forgiven, because we know that God is with us, because we know that God loves us, every day we can experience that peace. But at the same time, we talk about his mercy, where even though we might fall into sin, even though we're Christians and we might fall into sin, but God doesn't look upon us and say, "Ooh, you bad sinner." When God looks at you who put your trust in Jesus, God sees Jesus and how your sins have been forgiven. And so even though we fall into sin, God sees Jesus and doesn't say, "I'm going to punish you for this." What God says is, "I love you so much, I'm going to continue to work in your life to see more and more clearly how much life with me is better than life with this world." And so God says, "I'm not leaving you, don't worry. I'm not punishing you." Any of you that are Christians that feel like you're being punished by God because you're living a bad life, that's a lie. Don't believe in that. That's a lie that comes from Satan. God is not punishing you. God is working in your life to say, "I love you and I want you to grow and I want you to see clearly that life with me is better than anything that you'll find in this world." And it says, "Peace and mercy upon all of you and upon the Israel of God." And here what it's saying is this: you, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, no matter what country you come from, no matter what background you have, whether you feel you've been innocent all your life from the law of the land, or whether you are a criminal, no matter what your background is, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are now part of the people of God. You are the Israel of God. And so all the promises that you find in Scripture, Old Testament, New, all the promises belong to you. God is doing a work in your lives. Now, just very quickly, what does it look like to experience that new life every day? The active method is every day you wake up, whatever time that is, and you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, I'm great. I'm awesome. You can do it. You are going to be successful. You're going to be a great person today. No. That's what the world tells us to do. That's the self-help idea. That's not what we're supposed to do. You look in the mirror and you say, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is changing me. I may not be perfect today, but Jesus is changing me. And Jesus is making me better. Jesus is awesome. And you start your day in that way. The passive way? What's the passive way? As you live your daily life, go to church. Go to community groups. Read your Bible. Listen to Christian music. And you know what? These things won't make you feel better. Not all the time. But every once in a while, God will use these things to come and speak to you. Every once in a while, God will use these things to say, hey, look, I am here with you. That night at the church, I was struggling. And the marathon of praise started. And I'm like, I still don't know what I'm going to preach on. The songs have already started. And they started singing different songs. One song after another. And they came to one part of the song that says, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy. You will always be holy, holy forever. And in that moment, as I was praising God, it didn't matter if I knew what I was going to preach on or not. It didn't matter if I felt that I was going to belong or not. It didn't matter anymore, because the picture that came to my mind that night was myself in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for me, with people all around me lifting up their hands, praising God, and seeing Jesus together. And seeing how awesome he is. And seeing how wonderful he is. And my past, all my failures, all of that didn't matter anymore. I just saw Jesus. And in that moment, I said, Jesus, there's no one that's like you. You are holy. There's no one that's like you. And in that moment, I started thinking, that's it. I want to share with people about how great it's going to be in heaven one day. But here on earth, we still long and we groan for that day that's coming. And my mind went straight to Romans chapter 8, where it talks about how we are groaning for our Lord Jesus Christ to come because he is great. But until that day comes, we just need to hold on to the idea that there's no condemnation for those that are in Jesus, and that nothing is going to separate us from his love. Jesus told me that night, not through a voice, not through an audible voice, but a passage came to my mind saying, you may not feel like you're doing that great right now. You may feel that things are terrible, but my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, no matter what you may be going through in your life today, if you trust in Jesus, this is for believers and unbelievers. Trust in Jesus. He is everything. And you will experience new life as you look to him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for this day and how you're doing a wonderful work in your people's lives. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for out of love for your people, you came You lived a perfect life, and you died on the cross for our sins. And we also know that you rose again from the dead, and you are alive today, and you're working in our lives. And we have this opportunity to have a relationship with you. And it's not based at all on how good we are, but it's completely based on Jesus Christ and how he died for us, how he lived for us, and how he died for us. And so, Lord, today we look to you, and I pray, dear Lord, that you would work by your Holy Spirit in every person's heart here. Would you encourage them and strengthen them and guide them in your truth? May we come to put our trust in you and see that you alone are awesome. You are holy. You are good. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.